BBC News with Sue Montgomery. After a second day of peace talks in Geneva, the Syrian government delegation has agreed that women and children may leave the besieged centre of the city of Homs, but said a list of names would be needed of men who want to leave. Syria's Deputy Foreign Minister, Faisal al-Maghdad, also said the government would let an aid convoy into the city. The United Nations mediator on the Syrian conflict, Lakhdar Brahimi, welcomed the moves as the first tangible outcome of the talks. Here's Bridget Kendall in Geneva.
This is a significant, if limited, development from the peace talks in Geneva. Permission from the Syrian government to lift the siege on parts of the old city of Homs, which for months had left hundreds of people trapped, including the very ill and very vulnerable. But though Damascus said women and children could leave immediately, it seems there is a caveat that other civilians, in other words men, could leave only if the Syrian government had a list of their names first. It's a condition that the opposition points out could be ominous, as information contained in lists could be used to detain or even torture people later.
A brain-dead woman kept alive in a hospital in the southern United States because she was pregnant has now been removed from life support. Beth McLeod has more from Washington.
Marlies Munoz was 14 weeks pregnant when she collapsed in November from a suspected blood clot. She was considered brain dead, but was kept alive by doctors in a hospital in Fort Worth. Hospital officials argued that a state law prohibited them from withdrawing treatment from a pregnant patient, but a state district judge said on Friday that this law was being misapplied and ordered that all life-sustaining treatment be removed. The hospital has now followed the court order. The family of Marlies Munoz had argued that she wouldn't have wanted to be on life support and that medical records showed the fetus was severely damaged from oxygen deprivation.
Protests against the Ukrainian government have continued to spread across the country, with administrative headquarters besieged in more than half of the country's regions. In Kiev, here's David Stern.
The demonstrations are spreading. These are these demonstrations where protesters are besieging and in some cases taking over government buildings. So it's not exactly that the entire city is protesting, but there are significant demonstrations. And the fact that they are taking place in what is President Viktor Yanukovych's base of popularity does show a sign that something is happening in the East and that the protests are taking on a new character.
The president of the World Bank has announced a $2 billion development program for Myanmar, the country also known as Burma. Speaking at the start of the first visit to the country by World Bank president Jim Yong Kim, said half the money would be used to extend the electricity supply, while $200 million would be made available to improve health services. World News from the BBC. The Tunisian Prime Minister-designate says he's formed a new government. The cabinet consists mainly of independents and technocrats and is expected to run the country until new elections. Mehdi Jomah was appointed as Prime Minister in December. The former intelligence agency contractor Edward Snowden has said that the United States National Security Agency was engaged in industrial espionage as well as spying on people to prevent terrorism. Steve Evans reports from Berlin.
Edward Snowden's given an interview to Germany's public broadcaster, ARD. In it, he says that the National Security Agency wasn't just engaged in spying to prevent violent attacks on the United States, but also engaged in what he called economic spying. Referring to the German engineering company Siemens, Mr. Snowden said, "If there's information at Siemens that they think would be beneficial to the national interests, not the national security of the United States, they will go after that information."
The United States has expressed concern that the sentencing of a Chinese human rights activist, Shu Jiayong, to 4 years in jail is retribution for his public campaign to expose official corruption. Mr. Shu, convicted for gathering crowds to disturb public order, has called for Communist Party officials to disclose their assets. New research suggests the Grand Canyon in the western United States may be much younger than previously thought. Scientists had earlier estimated it to be 70 million years old. Here's our science correspondent, Jonathan Amos.
Running for almost 450 kilometres and to a depth of 1,800 metres, it's almost too vast to take in. Now, a new study in the Nature Geoscience Journal finds the Grand Canyon has some very old segments, but the full system was only cut into the form we know today by the Colorado River just over 5 million years ago.
BBC News.